Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. The Man Up Show is on the air. Good evening, everybody. The show is on the air tonight. The Man Up Show is on the air. This is Big D, Dal Harrington, one of your co-hosts here tonight, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I believe we have Mr. Edward L. Fairley on the line. Eddie, are you on the line?
Yeah, what's good, man?
Yeah, Eddie, that's what I'm talking about. And my brother from another mother, Mr. Naz. Naz, are you on the line?
I am on deck. Salute.
That's what I'm talking about. The Man Up Show is on the air. Friday night, the 5th of July. How was everybody's 4th of July, gentlemen?
Hot.
Yeah, it was hot, man.
Hot. Excuse my language, fucking hot.
Yeah, it was pretty hot, man. But I got some rest, so I'm good. I appreciate
it.
There you go, brother.
Yeah.
Right. Ooh. Now, we got the first set of fireworks and barbecues, and now before we're about to head off to some more barbecues, I guess we got some fireworks of our own. Tonight's topics, we got two of them coming at you. One, don't confuse meekness for weakness. That's the first one. And the second one is not to confuse uniformity for conformity. So we're going in on both these topics. Eddie, you got anything to say about these topics before we go into our first musical interlude?
Yeah, man. I like how you put that. The firework, that was definitely the fireworks before the fireworks. which pretty much birthed the actual topics for discussion right. today. But because we stand by what we stand for, we were man enough to bring it to the audience's ears to show how we take care of our business even behind the scenes. So I'm gonna leave it at that, and then they'll understand what I mean when we really get into the topic after our music break.
Well said.
Naz, you got anything to add to that one?
Well, I ain't gonna even take the easy way out and go ditto, which sounds pretty good if I say it. But I agree. There was fireworks before fireworks, but you know, it's just amazing that men today can still chop it up, talk, address the issue, you know, have the agree to disagree. But then come to what's the purpose here? What's the foundation? You know, at the end of the day, what are we? Are we brothers? Are we men? And I think the topic fits very well. You know, and you know, some people actually added, somebody hit me with a text like, "What is meekness?" So I'm pretty sure we
yeah.
back to that. What does meekness mean?
Yeah, we definitely gonna get into that.
So we can definitely get into that for the music break, but I agree. Fireworks before fireworks, and by the end of the conversation, we're definitely going to chop it up. Thanks for understanding.
Absolutely. We all have to learn how to communicate. It's all about communication, as the great Edward L. Fairley would say. Get into the root of it. that's how we get down. You know, but we need to learn conflict resolution. I mean, we're not always going to agree on every topic, on every subject. So after this musical interlude, we're going to do a little music for a little bit, about 10 minutes. And then when we come off of that, we're going straight into the topic. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Now, so let's sit back and let's listen to the musical interlude, because when we come back, we're not gonna confuse meekness for weakness.
Okay. No doubt. We got a little party on it. It's holiday weekend.
Dr. David Banner, physician, scientist, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation interacts with his unique body chemistry. And now, when David Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs.
Big shot.
That's what I'm talking about. Back from another one, back from another one, back from another one. All right. Now that we're back from this one, okay, let's just jump on into this one. Don't confuse my weakness. Don't confuse my meekness for my weakness. Now, Edward, would you like to lead us off?
That's fine. Actually, I'll start off by you all said, there's a young man that said, what is meekness? First, I'll start off with defining what that is. Meekness, it just means to know and understand that you have the power to do something but choose not to do it, as opposed to not having the power to do something and out of fear just not doing it, more than likely, which would be considered weakness. That's why we said, don't confuse my meekness for weakness. So to have the ability to do something or have the power to do something but just choose to have self-control, out of concluding that it would be best to not utilize that power, making a choice that would benefit the situation. And that's pretty much what meekness is. Weakness, I think we all can agree that weakness is just not having the ability to do something that you would want to do because you lack the power or the capability to do so. That can be considered a weakness. But as far as the topic, let's go ahead and get into where the topic stemmed from. I'm not sure if you all noticed our followers for the week prior to last week, the show was canceled. And then the following week, I wasn't on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why we weren't on the show the week prior, the reason why the show was canceled the week prior too, was because Daryl and Nas had been working behind the scenes to bring this whole merge that they announced last week into fruition. I didn't find out about that until you all found out about that. I had no idea what was going on behind the scenes. And then the week that the show aired, the following week, I also did not know that they were on the air doing the show. Now, the week prior to that, goodness gracious, adding up to a lot of weeks, huh? The week prior to that, on the air, Nas and I asked Nas to speed it up on the air when he was answering a question. And his reply was, I would if you just shut up.
Alrighty then.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if anyone caught that, but I realized that and the potential tension that could have escalated from that. So I contacted Nas that night after the show, because normally we have a debriefing after the show to communicate and discuss how we felt about the show, what we could have made better or what have you. And that night, he never responded, and I also I called him for one to make sure that he didn't feel disrespected or that I was trying to be rude towards him. It was more because the shows prior to, I realized from people who called me about the show that once 9 o'clock hits, our time is up. Is officially up. We could be talking on the air to us. We sound like we're talking, but it straight shuts us down by 9 o'clock. So for the sake of time, there was a show prior to that where someone was rambling and it caused us to go over time. And Nas, he got into this rambling thing that I was like, come on, speed it up, because I wanted us to end on time. So that's what caused me to say, come on, man, don't take 95 when all we need to do is take 13 to get to where we need to go. Nas, being the alpha male that he is, felt like I was checking him on the air and felt the need to respond. Well, he reacted. I ain't even going to say he felt the need. He reacted like an alpha male would. Yo, I will if you just shut up. So, from that.
Damn. Not like that, huh?
I immediately went to the potential fire to try to diffuse anything or clarify something that probably wasn't there. With that being said he was on the phone with Daryl, and that he would call me back afterward. With that, after that, he never called me back. So I'm still thinking that, okay, he's upset. So then I think 2 days passed, and I saw him online on Facebook, and I emailed him, say, yo, you, what happened? You ain't calling me back. He said, it ended up being really, really late. I fell asleep. And my email actually was, is there a problem? do we need to talk, whatever. He said, no, there's no problem. Everything's good. But we do need to talk. And I said, well, bet, you hit me up when you find the time to talk so we can talk. He said, cool. I never heard from him for the rest of that week. The show was canceled that Friday. And then the next week came, I didn't hear anything from him, but I saw a few posts on Facebook with him updating, saying he apologized for missing any meetings that week prior to. And he also said that he was grinding and had to make some money moves or what have you to get us where we potentially, I mean, we eventually got to on Friday. But on Friday, which I'm accustomed to Nas always putting on my Facebook wall with the topic of the day with the flyer, that the week prior to that the show was canceled, I never got the flyer, and the show was canceled. That next week, I never got the flyer on my wall, and I never got any contact from Nas. From that, I end up finding out, because I assumed that we weren't going to have a show because what normally transpired never transpired. I found out later that the show went on, and that on the exact hour, it was put up that they were having the show on the Man Up fan page, which I very rarely frequent. So, from that, I concluded.
Yeah, you know you're going to get it from my dad on that one.
So, from that, I already have, I didn't find out until after the show from my lawyer that the show went on.
You know he's bullying you, right? At that part, you know that. You know, brother.
I didn't find out that the show went on until the end of the show from my lawyer. If y'all noticed, Sig, my lawyer was on the radio show that day. That's because she also has people that are listening to the show, and she had concluded that we weren't going to have the show because she normally has a flyer stating what the show topic is going to be by about 4. And that wasn't up there at the time on the Blog Talk radio station. So I hadn't heard anything from Nas in 2 weeks. I concluded that it was because of the whole situation with us on the radio. The way I do business, I communicate as much as possible, and everybody knows everything. Even if I'm the one running everything, I make sure everybody knows and understands what's going on. The way Nas runs business is he knows what's going to be done. He's going to get it done. He does not necessarily depend on anybody else to get the stuff done because he can trust that he's going to do it. And not to mention in his past, he's had people that didn't fall through when he needed them. Very understandable. That's where I used to be until I realized that, that no one is going to be very successful without an actual team. So what happened was I emailed Nas saying, yo, y'all had the show? I say, what's going on? You're supposed to call me. And a big argument blew up between Nas and I to where he felt I was questioning his integrity, his manhood, and how he ran business. And I felt he was not being considerate as a business person or as a co-host to let me know what's going on with the whole show, so much so that I didn't even get to be on the show last week because of this breakup or lapse in communication. You know what, Daryl, you got issues. But from that, we got in a heated discussion for about an hour and a half, even though from what they did behind the scenes landed us the whole merge, which in turn will cause us to actually now do what we do and get paid for doing what we love to do, as well as to be heard by potentially more people in a better venue than what we had in the past. Even though that looks good to anybody that would be the recipient of it, to me it's still based on my principles when it comes to business and doing transactions and communicating with someone, that still was not satisfactory for me because I felt, for one, I should have been a part of all that, helping with the decision-making process, understanding what was going on. Not to mention I had people calling me saying, hey, is there going to be a show tonight? And all I could say is, I don't know. or what's the topic going to be? I don't know. How you a part of the show that you don't know what the topic and what time it's going to be on? And that's the stuff that I was dealing with. So all that frustration came from both ends. And his like I said, it got really heavy to the point where we like, so that's you putting your man on the daggone table? Of course it didn't sound like
word.
That. On the...
Say it.
So I mean, we going in on each other. So what you saying? And he's letting me know. Well, you think it's productive to talk to the producer of the company? I'm like, who? Well, what the hell? What is that supposed to mean? You trying to like? I don't know. You know, it got real. It got real, real, real. But in the end, after we kind of what I think personally, and you'll find out from Nas in a few. What I think defused the whole thing was when I said, because he kept saying, you know, this is our first big blowout or whatever. And I said, you know, that's fine that you feel that way. I personally don't think it's a blowout or an argument. I said, but even if you do conclude that it's an argument, I need you to know and understand that the root of the whole situation is I was trying to communicate with you and you would not allow that to happen. And I was trying to build a better relationship and rapport between you and I, and that was not done. I said, and then he said, well, you know, I'm not accustomed to you know, telling everybody or calling and checking in and all this stuff like that. I just do what I got to do, and you know, I'm not used to having people help out and all this stuff like that. I hear you say that, you know, you're not doing this necessarily for money or anything like that, and I felt an opportunity to get you paid. And get us all paid or whatever for doing what we do, and I saw an opportunity and I went out to do it or whatever. He said that's just how I do things. I know what it is that I want to do. I go out and do it, and I try to do it for the people that I consider family would have. I said that's great, Nas, but clearly you're tired. You're falling asleep. You're dozing off. You don't know what's going on. I said you're not any help if you're dead. You're not any help if you're so tired because you're trying to do everything by yourself that you fall asleep at the wheel or at a light or whatever when you could have delegated that responsibility to someone else or spreaded all the work through someone else. And the interesting thing about it, and which was another thing that kind of upset me about the whole thing, is all the stuff that they were going through about figuring out where the sponsorship dollars and all that stuff came from, it was all the stuff that I had already been going through for the last 3 or 4 weeks with the whole television thing for me. So I could have provided or offered a lot of information that could have prevented them from doing any research or potentially missing out on potential questions that they could have asked that could have helped them in their decision making and all kinds of things. So with all that being said, it was a breakdown in how we do business, and we had to find clarity in that. And once he realized that, okay, in the end, the root of it is that this dude is really just trying to get in contact with me and communicate so that we can, for one, build a rapport outside of the radio show because, quite frankly, Nas and I have never met. Everyone else on the other side have met. They know each other. They grew up together as children. Me and Nas, we met on the air, live, and we don't necessarily have a rapport or relationship to where I understand his actions or his lack of actions that will cause me to say, oh, that's just Nas. And he don't know me to say, well, Eddie needs to know what's going on because he wants to be a contributor or a helper within the decision making or what have you. So once he concluded and realized that, it kind of diffused the situation, and we went from all of that yelling and saying who had what and who was the real man and who was running this and whatever. We put all of our quote-unquote power to the side to come together to make a better decision for the actual radio show and for our I'm going to say relationship, so that we can, for one, build a relationship outside of the radio show, which will in turn bleed onto the radio show and show that we are a very cohesive unit. That for one, we're in it to win it with each other in mind and doing it together as a unit.
That's it.
Bravo! Bravo! Bravo!
Now, Nas. Do you have anything?
Oh, my bad. Damn.
Come on.
I'm just fucking with you. I'm messing with you, man, Eddie. Man, you know what, man? I love you, my brother. But you know what? You gotta stop playing that goddamn victim crap.
I'm gonna keep it with you. I love you.
Hey, but only brothers can tell another brother that. So I love you, man. You gotta stop that victim crap.
It's two sides to every story. That's why it's your turn, right? Right after mine, right?
To get me to talk to him
like a brother. Because, oh, like, you know, Brother Dow, if I'm upset, I don't want to talk, Dow knows how to make me talk. You know, other people have to kill yourself. Don't even come near me. If you come near me, I'm breaking your chin or I'm snapping your neck. You know, it sounds... I literally will do that. I will literally snap my neck or throw him in front of a moving bus. That's how I get down. But, you know, if I don't want to bother you, I'm staying away from you. But real family brothers say, listen, Nick, stop it. Stop. You need to holler at me. They know how to get in my face and get it done. That's my personality. You got to get in my face to get my attention. Because if you're not rocking and rolling faster than me or you're on top of your game, you cannot come at me or talk to me. The same thing with Brother Down. And Eddie's the same way, but he does it in a more, what I call it, creative way. I'm going to use that word.
Yeah, you are a mess on the...
And, you know, I'm laughing, too. See, now you got me laughing now because, well, for one, what's crazy about it, it got real intense, and we went in for a minute. But at the end
hour
of it,
and a half.
like his wife had to pull us off the phone because we was enjoying each other. It was so, am I lying?
No.
Am I lying?
I mean, we was on the phone for hours. She saying, like, should I bring you flowers? I mean, do I need to, you know, bring you out some care bears? I mean, what the hell's going on? You know, they were going to kiss and make up to each other. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This ain't the Brokeback Mountain.
But I'm laughing because he said, you know, I'm the type that you got to get in my face to get my attention. And this guy, Mr. I'm going to be mad. I don't give a damn. I'm going to be mad.
We had
a 12 o'clock conference call. Daryl pretty much got a whole clown suit on with the red nose and everything. I mean, he bringing out all kinds of jokes, and the joke was funny. But Nas wasn't budging. What you said. That's right. So I'm like, this dude is still salty. So I am the one that initiated the phone call, and what did I say when he answered the phone? Well, I called him because I knew he couldn't say that he was too busy because we just got off of a conference call. Then he answered the phone. I said, "So, excuse me. I know we just had a daggone topic about this, but this is how it went." I called him. He answered the phone. I said, "So what you got? Your chin up at me, nigga? What is your problem or whatever? So are we going to talk about this or what?" He's like, "Well, what are you talking about?" So, and it just went from there. it went from there. So you got your chin up at me, nigga, and we went from there. I mean, pretty much verbally throwing chairs, tables, and everything at each other. And what I want to bring to the table on this and help anybody for one that to realize this and understand this. First of all, in order for you to get to that point or get mad at somebody, that means you care. It means you care. Two, the fact that he listened and he talked to me and allowed us to get to the argument, mean he cared because he could have just hung up the daggone phone. To go back to the topic, or bring the topic in, meekness, confusing our meekness for weakness. Nas, clearly, producer, could have just said, "Well, you know what? Forget it. You cut off." Which actually, I concluded that's what happened. That was another form of the miscommunication between all this stuff. I concluded that it was just another seasonal thing for me, and I already in my mind was working on, okay, well, what's next for Eddie? Do I do anything else with radio? do I do anything else with radio? Do I just stick to the whole TV thing? What's next? I can't deny that my life has been filled with so many seasonal things, whether it be family members, opportunities and stuff like that, that I'm just accustomed to, okay, well, what's the next thing? Don't get all caught up in that. It was a great ride. I think you've done good in what you did. What's the next thing? So Nas could have clearly said, just like you said, you know, do you think it's productive to try to combat the producer or what have you. So he could have just cut me off and said, "Well, forget it. We don't need you. We're gonna do the Man Up show by ourselves." I, as far as me putting my meekness, not making my meekness weakness, I could have concluded that I am an asset. I helped us get to where we are, and I'm leaving and walked away myself and say I have things going on myself. I can go ahead and see what works for me or whatever. We could have broke up like New Edition. Just
New Edition.
So, with that being said, we both got to the root of what the issue really was, and when we got to the root of it, it had nothing to do with a beef or a problem with each other. It was, for one, miscommunication. Two different ways of doing business, and three, just really wanting to know and understand each other better.
And
once we got to the root of that, it was like, damn, how can you really be mad and beef over somebody that's literally just trying to build a relationship and business around something together and grow something that's positive and all that. Like, does it really make sense? And when you say that out loud, it just makes it seem so dumb. And if we could, if so many guys or even females too could just sit down and just put all their pride and passion and stuff aside and just get to the root of, well, you know what? What are we really arguing about? Because in the end, what happened? Now we having conference calls before the show. Now I am a part of the whole decision making process. I even have I got an email from Dell, man. I could work the daggone fan page myself. I could put my own stuff up there.
If I
want to, I mean, and we, for one, We have something that we've experienced that caused us to be closer, and it also helped us to better understand each other. Even if we don't necessarily agree with how we go about our business or our just moving towards a certain thing, we still can consider each other's ways and potentially bring them together to just form a new way of doing business. It's great. I actually gained trust from Nas in the sense that he feels that he can let me know, I'm one of those soldiers where he could just delegate responsibility. Yo, this is what we need done, because quite frankly, I knew nothing about the radio thing, so I couldn't even get orders to see if I was good enough to be a damn soldier.
Yeah, never mind.
I kicked him in the nuts. That's what I said, player. No doubt, I got you.
straight up. I went into the supermarket, got me some dozen eggs, straight up got them in the head when he was like, they're trying to take a good girl in the corner.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, take that. Now, how you like those? How you like your eggs? Scrambled? How, nigga?
Okay.
I know, that's wrong. Right. Just please forgive me. That's wrong. But, yeah. And if you hear me, Sheree, kill yourself.
Okay. I got a question for both of you. I'm gonna start off with Nas. And then I'll get to Ed, so Ed can wrap it up. But let me start off with Nas. What did you learn from this situation that others can take from it and maybe not duplicate some of the same mistakes themselves?
Well,
what did you take out of this conflict between you and Ed that somebody else can take from?
I got a direct answer. I mean, you know, I want to take him to Highway 95.
You're on 13, baby. You're on 13 all day.
First of all, you answer Eddie's question.
Eddie
straight up.
95 Eddie.
Yeah, you answer his question straight up. If you don't want to catch the damn avalanche, you answer that question because in the back of his mind, he's already started his onslaught. I'm like, you know, then it's either you want to go onslaught with him or you got to move the furniture in this house with him.
Oh, shoot. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's my advice. Anybody, you do business with Eddie, you better call him back straight up because this cat knows how to text. And, oh, my God, I'm talking about, you know, he's at work. I got to go work in the morning. I'm reading a damn novel. I thought I was reading War and Peace. I'm like, yo, answer him. I'm telling you, that's the lesson. But lesson one, answer him. If you don't answer him, be prepared to read War and Peace. Straight up, real talk. I thought I was reading a new chapter in the Bible. I'm like, Revelations in the Book of Eddie. What the fuck? No, seriously, that the biggest thing is communication. I mean, because you may communicate a certain way does not mean everybody else communicating that same way. You have to show consideration to that individual. It doesn't make them any weaker. It doesn't make them any different than who you are. You just have to be understanding that the world, no man's an island, everybody's different. And if all they're asking for communication, you got to honor and respect that. That's what I can tell you. I mean, That's the best
advice
I can give you.
Yeah, brother, that's what it is. That is
wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll tell you right now. I apologize for my action for not calling you.
Nah, man, we done with that, man.
I know, but I want to say so our listeners can hear, because I don't want to miscommunication. No freaking crazy ass text is going to you or me. I'm shutting them down now. Yeah, right. We put it out there, so y'all, you know, I don't want to hear it. And any of y'all cats come to me with some meekness crap, yo, nah, you know, you meek, I'm going to slap you, take out the mouth. Right now, I know somebody will do something stupid, man. Come on, man. So we got to have some business, man. I know it's going to be a wise ass. Somebody going to say something. You know, they're like, you're nasty. Don't take my meekness, my weakness. My uniform, he's my conforming, and, you know, I love brothers. Let me smack somebody. Now's my turn, damn it. I ain't letting nobody mess with it, bro.
Wait, big shout-out, big seriously shout-out, because I sure didn't do it in the beginning of the show, but he knows it's much love. Big shout-out to our brother, Hassan Black.
Tonight,
we're going to be in the set. We're going to be at Melmore Gardens while he tears it apart. East Orange, Jersey, we coming. That's the Shadowwell family. That's the Man Up crew. We coming in. We coming through. We going to do the thing. It's going to be the time tonight. So we looking forward. That's what we're looking forward. Now, I'll be quiet to this. Because Eddie gave a dissertation. Nas was asleep. I remember. I ain't saying nothing. I'm going to take 2 minutes, exactly 2 minutes, to address one thing. All right. I'm a person, you know, one of the many things that I do. I bet you out in the middle of the evening to go get some paper in the middle of the night. So I'm up all night, certain nights of the week, until 8, 9 in the morning.
for long periods of time. Long periods of time. Now, you know, you got one ready to rearrange furniture with the other one. So I'm like, damn. Like, really? I mean, like, seriously, is it that bad? I mean, like, really? You know, just like, yeah, like, exactly. You know? I know. This shit's just fucked up. Now, meanwhile, on the other side, it's sort of like a Rodney King moment, you know? Why can't we just all get along?
Oh.
You know? Yeah, I know. You know, just one, can we communicate? My two cents in this, and it go straight to the topic. Okay. You want a definition of meekness? Look at Christ. Jesus by no means was weak in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Jesus chose, allowed, permitted for himself be crucified for our sins, not for his own, but for ours.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go there with me? You want to take it there? All right. In order to get it off of their back, I'll put it on mine. Not a problem. It wasn't that he had to do it. Like you said, he could have called down a legion of angels and this
That's
whole
right.
thing would have been
He said
been a
that he made it known. He made it known. Yo, I could.
At the drop of a dime, that's what he told Peter. After Peter said, time to go to the blade. Peter dropped that brother's ear off fast, quick and in a hurry, cut it off. Let's get him off. And the Lord said, hold up, son. Jesus was. Jesus picked up the ear that Peter dropped off.
And put it back on
my man's head. That's a bad buck. Ain't nothing weak about any of that. But he said, yo, don't you understand? I got to holler at my father, and next thing you know, the hit squad is out here. In full effect, we cool, we covered. If that's what I wanted to do, but that's not what I got to do. I got to do what I got to do. So it is what it is. That is meekness.
Mm-hmm.
Meekness is humility. You know, being humble. You know, yeah, I know what I can do. I know what I can do with my hands. I know what I can do with this. I know what I can do with that. But just because, I know it, and a lot of other people know it too. But I don't need to define myself by it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to hype it up. I mean, it is what it is. You know, like, you know, you have certain brothers who, you know, we've been out there before. You know, may I say been out there before. Not how we're living currently, even three of us, because we're all in committed relationships. But I digress. You know how it is when, you know, you hear other brothers trying to holler at a female, and they talk about what they can do and what they got and this, that, and the other thing. You know damn well this nigga ain't got none of the above. He can't hang. He can't do what he says he can do. See, we ain't got to brag about it. Once we get to it, it's all crack. Which totally changes the complexity of the situation. So, meekness. Meekness is just the ability to be comfortable in your own skin, to be able to relate to somebody in theirs, and being able to see somebody else's point of view through conflict resolution. You know, I can deal with your issue. I understand. You know, I'm sorry if I said something to offend you. Now, it wasn't my intention to offend you. I believe that you're wrong, but nowhere in anything that I'm saying or doing was my intent to hurt you or defame you or anything of that nature. We just disagree. Now, if you can prove to me that you're right and I'm wrong, I'll take that. If you can't, then you still disagree, well, then we'll agree to disagree. But, you know, there ain't no reason for us to be enemies or, you know, come away salty. So, you know, that's just basically it. You know, so now, so real quick, guys, is there anything else that we can really say about the first part of our topic of tonight? Don't confuse my meekness for weakness.
Well, I mean, what I learned from this whole thing, well, for one is to trust what I said. There's so many times where I was like, yo, Eddie, chill. What it looks like might not be what it seems. Until you talk to him, you don't necessarily know what it is. And the more time passed, I was like, nah, this is what it is. I broke instead of sticking to what I know, or for one, and two, knowing and understanding that there's different ways to do things, like Nas said, we don't all do things the same way, and also realizing that, for one, you don't want to have a team of people that do everything the same way. You definitely want a diverse team anyway. That's how things get done, because there's different things that aren't being considered or looked at, which will make you a great team and a very beneficial team, because not everybody's thinking the same things, and things that aren't being thought of by you may be thought of by someone else. Someone like Nas, like a go-getter to just go ahead and get it done, whereas I need to go ahead and make sure I have all the information so I can know that I'm attacking strategically so that I can use those correct words to get the people to say or feel the way that I want them to feel, right, Nas? Nas is just going straight in. I'm kind of strategic in what it is that I'm doing before I make my move, and I need a Nas in my life so that I can, for one, be strategic, let him know what it is that that needs to be done or we're trying to do, and just know and trust that he gonna do that just by any means necessary. He ain't even thinking about all the stuff I considered. He's just gonna make it happen. Like, hey, ta-da! Look, I told you I could do it. I'm like, how did you do that? You missed. You dodged this. You dodged that. You didn't even. I didn't even tell you about this. But he's just a person that once he gets focused on something, he gets it done, which is a great, like I said, partner, teammate, brother to have in your circle to get things done. And like I said, we all need different things, and it's, you have a terrible team if everybody thinks the same. Terrible team.
I agree. Right? Yeah. You gotta have difference. I agree.
Exactly. So I learned to for one, don't doubt myself and don't let the enemy get in my head to cause me to make a decision that's not necessarily true. Also, I realized that just because you don't know about it doesn't mean other people aren't doing things for your best interest or working for you.
Right.
Damn, my father said that years ago.
So it's like, I'm like, wow, really? Because, I mean, even when the announcement was made, I'm like, okay, so what does that mean? And they're like, what does that mean? Now I'm like, you can pick whatever day you want, baby. You want to do the root of it every day all week? You can do it all week. If you want to do it in the morning, you can do it in the morning. What do you just choose? He like big red at the Cadillacs. Which one you want, man? So it was people doing work on my behalf without me even knowing it, and it allowed me to embark on an opportunity just to take myself and my brand and who I am to another level. Not to mention to have more ears. To hear what it is that God put in me to share with others. So that's those are the things that I learned from this whole experience.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. Finally, that's what we're talking about. Now it's time for going to the second musical interlude. We're gonna take a little break, and then when we come back. Also, as I say, first part was don't confuse my meekness for weakness, or my uniformity for conformity. So we're gonna deal with that. We callers on the line. So we're gonna go in. We're gonna get in that as soon as we come back from this next break, this musical interlude, and we'll be right back.
Don't be alarmed, we're Negroes.
You can be like This is the stuff you're talking about.
In a manner that represents correctly what it is that she does.
We're not saying to conform or, quote-unquote, what people feel is sell out. We're saying wear the uniform until you get your own and then switch it up on them. But you got to play the game or have on the correct uniform to at least get in the game. You can't say that you're a member of the Giants but running on the field with a damn Redskins uniform on. What are you doing? So if you want to play the game, you're going to have to wear the correct uniform, at least until you own the game. And when you own the game, then you can flip the game and show people that it's not what I wear that determines who I am or whatever. The cover doesn't represent or say what the book what's in the book or whatever. However you want to form your words to say whatever it is that you mean. But in the end, everybody's wearing a uniform, and your uniform is going to define how people perceive you to be. And there's no getting away from that. I tell people that all the time. They be like, well, it's not about the looks. I'm like, well, that's the first thing you see. I was like, my wife is, she's a wonderful person. She's a beautiful person. But if she was ugly as hell, I would never know it. because I saw her first.
Lord.
I saw her. I mean, that's just the reality of what it is. You're going to find people are going to see each other first before they get to know each other. No one sees you inside first. We're not glass people. So no one sees you inside. It's like, dang, that dude got a good heart. Good lungs, too. Let me go on and try to hire him. It doesn't work that way. You see your appearance, the way you dress, the way your nails are, if they're dirty. Gosh, I used to say that, too. I used to be like, man, y'all girls just polish y'all nails because y'all don't want to wash y'all damn hands. That's nasty. So, just keeping yourself clean and the way you present yourself is a lot of people that they feel like they're selling out or what have you. And the reason why I'm not sure if you guys paid attention to the flyers, we use Jay-Z, 50 Cent. Those are people that are, they come from the streets, but they understood that in order for them to get to where they wanted to go or get past the street or past the street money, they had to put on the appropriate uniform to do business with people who would not do business with the people that's in the streets.
Right.
They played the game until they got their own, and then they do whatever they want to do with their own. But in order for you to get your own, you got to persuade people that or help them understand that you're not what you, quote-unquote, look like or feel like looking like. You can play the role because you are going to have people that's not going to deal with you unless you look the part. So why not pimp the system, play the part, until you own the system, and then you can do whatever it is that you want to do.
That's what we mean by
uniformity as opposed to conformity. We're not telling you to conform to what people feel is right. We're saying play the game until you get to where you want to go, and then switch the game up. That's all we're saying. We ain't saying sell out. We ain't saying do any of that. We ain't even saying necessarily, you know, change the way you talk with it. At least change your attire. You cannot walk into a damn business meeting with your behind out. It's just not going to work. At least, do me this much. Send a representative that's willing to do that. If you're not even willing to say, gonna change it up for yourself, send somebody else in your place to represent you. That's gonna look the part. Do something.
Yeah,
quit me here.
For sure.
But you know, yeah. But Eddie, you said something. I mean, you use that analogy with the gentleman on the corner wearing the fireman uniform, right? And automatically, the guy came out the house and automatically assumed he was a fireman, right?
Exactly.
Right. Now, ladies. Now, I mean, I'm not throwing stones. But, you know, if you're dressed a certain way, you're wearing a certain uniform, please understand, there's going to be an automatic perception being brought to you. Same thing with our fellas. Same
for
way.
Sure.
You know, I agree with Brother Eddie saying, if you wear a certain thing or a certain outfit, you're going to be perceived. So, I mean, I definitely agree with you. You know, you want to generate your own uniform, but just please understand, the uniform that you put on, the suit you put on, people are going to assume that you got your head all right to your damn mouth. Or ladies, if you're wearing 6-inch heels to an interview,
and you wear a dress so tight that you can, you know, you burp. You see your veins popping out. I mean, you're going to be perceived a certain way. I mean, just straight up, you're going to be perceived a certain way. So please understand, there's a reaction to how you dress. So, I mean, you know, I definitely agree with you, bro. I mean, it's, damn, how you dress does also send a message. So be careful with the uniform that you put on.
It's like, come on, man. Nah, it's like a dude. It's like your daughter coming to the house with a white dude with a Klan's uniform, and he's saying, "I know what you're thinking, but it ain't what it is."
Man, he his ass put on the wrist.
I see him open his mouth, and the hood don't even gotta come off.
I'm straight. I know you feel me on this one. You come to the door. I don't care if you're playing, you say two, three, or sight, or not at all. Hey, look, I just like to pull jokes. All right, joke is on you, player. He getting mashed out. I mean, that sheet is done.
And why you beating on him? He like, no. The hood, this is the only hoodie I had. You know, Trayvon Martin.
And he's trying to put that hoodie. Somebody come to your door. Even they playing a joke with, I mean, a white person playing a joke with a clear hoodie on the gear. The whole good gear. Hey, what's up, nigger? I mean, it's like all the king. What's crack wagon, nigger? I mean, what's your first response? Close the door, call 911. Nah, 300 years of oppression. I'm getting mine.
That's what I'm saying. Like you, they're trying to explain to you that no, I'm not racist. This is the only hood I had, and I wanted to represent Trayvon Martin. You're not seeing that. You're not seeing it. Because of the uniform. And that's what I'm trying to, I mean, I know that's drastic, but some of the stuff that we're doing is drastic. And because we're so desensitized to what's going on, we don't think what we're doing is that drastic. And it is.
It is.
It is, right?
Absolutely.
It is. No, it is.
Consider your uniforms, man. If you want to make moves, you trying to, you know, influence people and all that stuff like that, come on, man. Michael Jackson, he proved to the world that he wasn't no thug or he wasn't quote-unquote loony. But when he came in with that Captain Crunch uniform to the trial and he had on some pajamas, he was like, what is this guy doing? You're ruining your case. So,
yeah,
I mean, you gotta consider your uniforms, man. And that's what I mean by uniformity, not conformity. We're not trying to tell you to sell out. We're not trying to tell you to do this or be a certain way or dress a certain way. I personally don't care what you do, but I need you to be cognizant before you say it's the white man trying to bring me down or somebody ruining my life. I need you to consider yourself first and your uniform. Consider the way that you're carrying yourself. Consider all of that stuff because that's what's going to determine whether they even consider doing business with you.
Now, I know Brother Don got something to say on this one, but it's just funny. I'm looking at the poster of you got P. Diddy in that beautiful suit, by the way. You got Brother T.I. rocking this suit. Of course, we got a picture of Jay-Z with a beautiful suit with the vest. I'm feeling that one. Got LL rocking his, you know, traditional suit that his glasses on, that the LL, I'm talking about the big LL, not the chiseled, the stereo LL. And we got 50 Cent rocking a nice outfit. My understanding, not one of those young men, those men, live in the hood anymore.
Nope.
But they will be rapping about the hood all day long.
That's
and
good.
They will be throwing in the hood.
That's good.
Except for
L.
L's kind of got away from that.
That's
but
good.
They will talk about the hood all day. But they live in that beautiful house in the suburbs.
I mean, they're not even in the suburbs anymore.
What is
the
whole city now?
Yo, you just said you hit something deep, man. I hope people are not missing the message, man. And I think that has a lot to do with certain people's success. Because if you think about it, if we want to really, really think about it, those people grind what to get out the hood. We got a lot of people that's grinding to try to stay in the hood or keep their hood clean or whatever, and they can't get out the hood because they can't see past the hood. So they can't see past the success that they attain, which is not
Thank
even
you.
Considered success.
Thank
so
you. Thank you.
These, it's crazy, man, but they had a formula, man. We going to sell them what they want to hear to get to where we want to get.
So they're doing the same thing. They're putting on a uniform.
So
that you guys will perceive them a certain way so that they can get to where they're trying to get to. And it ain't with you because they don't trust you because you a hood and you wear the uniform that represents you for real. Get him away from me. He is a crook.
So,
matter of fact, he said like white women now.
Here we go. Now, we're about to click on somebody right now who basically speared this conversation on. Because without Sig, this conversation wouldn't even
I
been nowhere. So let's just bring on Eddie's attorney, our old favorite, Miss Sig. Miss Sig is on the line. Signature, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Y'all are cracking me up today.
Don't judge it.
I'm judging you. Wait, I want to say this. I want to say this in all seriousness. First of all, I stood up my computer, so I've been trying to fix it. No, I want to say this in all seriousness. You guys really big boyed that situation.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
And I love that. And I love not only did you big boy it in the background, but you let the listeners know. And those damn ahs and oohs, and that got to stop. Sound like my kids when I'm trying to tell them something. Shut up, listen. No, for real. You guys did a really, really good job with that. And I just want to go on record as saying that when I'm in a meeting with a bunch of men and y'all do that, it's called a dick war.
Well, hold on. We were slapping dicks around. Hold up.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's basically, mine's bigger. Let's put them out on paper and get them and measure them and get it over with.
Well, first of all, I don't want to see a woman with a dick. I'm scared. The Crying Game. That movie will still give me nightmares.
The Crying Game. Wow.
No, you guys were like that. I mean, all that for nothing. You were basically saying the same thing, which is what men do. It is the only flaw I find with the male gender. You guys have big wars and you don't know how to get past them. That's why our country's in the situation it's in. Now, all the men out there that are mad at me right now, get over it. Stroke off and call it a day. It is what it is. Men have big wars. Y'all kill me with that.
Our president have dick wars too?
Say what?
So you saying our president have dick wars too?
With every other head of state there is, they have them. With his cabinet, they have them. Men get in the room and they want to be the big man on campus and everybody got to be right and what I say goes and blah, 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 blah. And basically you're saying the same thing in two different languages.
Well, if that was true, we would have never been able to resolve our issue because we still
No. The beautiful thing about a dick war is when you big boy them. Men are going to always have them. It's when you big boy them and realize it doesn't matter who's bigger. I still got a woman. And you talk to each other.
And you
put it behind you because it's not about who's is bigger. It's about what can we accomplish together.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? That's why when I sit in a room full of men and y'all have dick wars, I simply say one thing when I get tired of listening to it. Mine's bigger. Shut up.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? This can hold good to a whole other conversation. What's bigger? And then the strap. You know what? I can't.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
I can't. You know, the dick wars and getting behind people. You can't have this type of conversation.
Dang.
He wants my conversation
bigger,
clean.
I mean,
don't take me there.
I can't go here.
He wants my conversation was clean. Don't take me there. I can't help it. That's my analogy for everything.
Sig, you said dick wars. Dick wars getting behind somebody. I'm feeling nervous right now.
Don't be nervous.
I mean, you know, we never talk about dick wars. I don't want to slap dick for Eddie.
I know there are people listening to this one. Really, Sig, really? No, you guys did a really good job at selling that, squashing that. It's an alpha male thing. It's what happens. I want you guys to know that as a mother of boys and being who I am around men all the time, if you had not settled that by this show tomorrow, whether you wanted to or not, you would have settled it.
She had already texted me about it. She's not lying. She already texted me saying she was already going to call us and all this mess. This kumbaya.
Yeah.
We are the world.
Well, we settled our
dick
war.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Just, I'm glad you guys did, because otherwise it's not the big mother hen. I'm not playing. You guys compliment each other. I'm leaving all of you guys, so you're not going to, like, destroy my little vacation.
We love you.
Okay. Yes. Now, anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, Justin Park.
Uniformity. You
yeah,
started
Justin Park.
Uniformity. What's the question?
No question.
Y'all had me way too long. I got stuck in my
uniform.
You guys.
Uniform.
Dick Wars on mine and his Dick Wars. It's going to be funny.
Leave me alone.
Don't.
I will say this. It's raining. Eddie, you know I got a problem when it's raining.
Yes, yeah, you know I got a problem.
Yeah, it's raining.
Oh,
I got a problem, and I'm in Spain right now, so I got a
oh,
big problem.
Oh, geez.
So, anyway, I'll get past that. I'll be back in the States next week.
Oh, okay. No, we were talking about uniformity. Don't confuse my uniformity with conformity.
And I think we were talking about the relation of the houses, how these artists have beautiful homes outside the hood, but yet they throw that uniform on the hood to get that money.
Because that's where they're going to make their money. That's where their image was built. That's where they started. And they can't let go of where they started because that's what got them in the position where they could actually buy that house somewhere outside of the hood. The good thing is when they go back to the hood, they give back to it.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting, though? And I commend Jay and I commend 50 because I listened to the interview with 50 and Oprah. And he said when people get all excited about, oh, that's the old 50 or whatever. He said he gets kind of frustrated, he said, because it means that they didn't get it. They didn't come along on a journey with him. They're still stuck in that way. And he said that if he lived the lifestyle of the 50 that is on his records or whatever, he'd be either dead or in jail. I mean, he
exactly.
was openly said that.
Yeah.
So,
he said that more than once. And that's what, besides the fact that, okay, I'm still stuck on Dick Wall. That man has a gorgeous body. Without that body, I would never look at 50 Cent twice because that is an ugly man. But good Lord, I can get past him. Neck down, I am happy. Anyway. He has said that more than once, and I can appreciate and respect him for that. Because it's true. If you look at where somebody came and you look at where they are and all you see is where they are and not their journey that they got there, then you miss the whole thing. And you learn nothing. You need to go back to point A and start over.
And
you have a closed mind.
Him, you got to buy his old album. That line in itself is just like, I love that dude for that. Just that line in itself. If you want the old Jay, buy my old album.
Because they grew and they evolved. And if you can't respect the fact that they grew and they evolved and you have not grown nor have you evolved, and you have a closed mind. And the closed mind
exactly.
is never going to get fed. And you'll never make any progress. You'll forever be working in the mailroom at the firm and never make it out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I got a question for all of you. How do we get our young brothers to see that the only people that you're holding back by, you know, rocking the skinny jeans, you're sagging, you know, you got the tats all over, you know, you keeping it real, you know, that's how you live it. How do you show them or educate them that, okay, you might be keeping it real, but you're going to be keeping yourself broke too?
Well, I'm sorry, but first of all, we're keeping it real. What the hell does that mean with these young people? We're keeping it real. I mean, what is real?
Real means they watch somebody else do it, so they really want to do it too.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I actually like that answer. We'll keep it real.
No, I'm serious. Because when you do something, okay, anybody that knows me, I have sons. My sons, I got all of the ears pierced when they were 6 weeks old because I wanted it to do it because I did it, not because it was a fad later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
But because I happen to think men are cute with pierced ears, and I did it when they were babies, so it was my idea, no one else's. And so if they didn't like later on life, oh well, life went on, just don't wear earrings. But what the problem is with our young men is that they're so busy looking and idolizing and seeing the wrong
right now,
thing.
I need you to throw in young females in there too. You going?
Okay, you're right. Wait a minute, what's wrong with the way the females dress? A little hooker will get you some. No, let me stop. Oh, my God, I did not say that. It was a joke.
Yes, she did say that.
Let me catch you dressed like that. I will call you out on the way you dress. Our young people, young men and young women, and I mean if you're a year younger than me, then you're a young person to me. So I will correct you on the way you're dressed. They've got to stop idolizing what they see and quit wanting to be like them and emulate these people and take the time to get to know them like 50 Cent, see where they came from, and see how they are changing, how they are evolving, how things are different. There was a time when you wouldn't catch 50 in a suit, but now you do. Jay-Z was the same way. I thought that boy owned every jersey in the world at one point. I'm like, damn, if he show up in one more jersey. But he dresses differently. And I told someone, they was like, well, why would Beyonce be with Jay-Z? Because she looked past the outside and saw the man he was going to be. She saw the man
Brother,
who was going to put on a suit one day. So, and the thing about it is, and the way we reach them is you just reach them. You just stop them. You open up a dialogue with them. You have a conversation with them. You challenge their realness. Find out what makes it real to them. Just have a conversation. Don't approach them and judge them. Don't approach them and lecture them.
That's
have
right.
a conversation and find out where their heads are with that.
I told you guys last week,
I find out everybody's in a different place with those the way they dress things.
Yeah, I personally think the way that we can reach them is, for one,
sorry.
If these hip hop artists, they share the journey as opposed to just their destination. For one, that'll help them understand. Two, I think it should make us grind harder so that we can become successful enough to where they would aspire to be like us. So that then we'll have their ear, so that they'll be willing to hear what it is that we have to say, as opposed to only thinking that they have to be a hip hop artist or a basketball star to be successful. So. Those people that wear our pants on our waist and stuff, we have to grind harder to be successful in their eyes so that they'll even consider what it is that we have to say. We keep saying that, you know, that's going to keep us broke when we broke our damn stuff. And they like, well, Dad, Mr. Bus Driver who keeps his pants on his back, what do you have to offer that I want? So we have to, through our bus driver job, make the right decisions with our money and the things that we do so that we will be that success story to them that they will want to follow and want to know what our blueprint is to get to where it is that we ended up. So that's one way. And again, like I said, the other people, the hip-hop artists, those them being willing to say, this is what I did to really get where I'm at. This is not really my lifestyle. This is me being an actor, just like y'all watch movies and stuff like that. That's how we do things. This is how I do things to get my money and stuff like that. So I personally think it's our responsibility to become successful so that we can gain the ears, the minds, and the attention of our youth, so that we can influence them. And also, we gotta save these groans behind people that think that's trying to hold on to their little hip hop. I mean, public announcement, I personally don't care if I offend anybody, but if you are old, like in your late 40s with gray cornrows and your pants are under your behind, you look like a fool. And you need to get it together, accept the fact that you are the age that you are, and stop trying to hold on to the baby hip hop that you got left. It just does not, it doesn't fit. And you're trying to be the OG and tell the other kids what they need to do and all this stuff like that, man. Give that life up, man. It's time to work on something new, man. I'm sorry. You look ridiculous, man. I'm so sick and tired of seeing gray cornrows. It just don't look right. I'm sorry.
Gray cornrows.
Okay, Eddie.
Yeah?
Eddie, sweetheart, I love you to pieces. You know that. But if you called anything over 40 old again, I will walk to Virginia.
What do you mean over 40? That is over 40.
Whoa, hold up.
That don't make me old.
Furniture moving time.
I said
furniture
over 40.
That does not make me old.
I said late 40s. Didn't I say late 40s? I could have sworn I said late 40s.
Okay,
man.
You know what?
Later.
For our listeners that's over 40, you can accept 49. I heard.
Okay,
hold on.
Okay, I'm going to give you that.
If you're 40,
I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that, baby boy.
I ain't giving them
what's
that.
What's late 40s? I am. Wait a minute. What's late 40s?
Late 40s? I'd say 40, 47, 8-ish. Your
wow.
Head, your head
okay.
Is there. Your
my,
head
my,
is there.
My point is that you called that old. That is not old,
no,
I am 47.
I,
do not make
too
me
old to be wearing. It's four. It's too old to be wearing cornrows. The grown man wearing cornrows at 47. You're too old. I, don't
I
care
think
what
at
you
35
say.
You're too old to be wearing, but that don't make you old. Be careful how you use that language.
Well, it makes you too old to be. You said exactly what I said. It's too old to be wearing it. 35.
Yeah,
too old to be wearing it.
You said old times, Eddie. You know what?
Yes.
You ain't too old to get your heart.
Well,
thank
you.
You
said too old. 35,
I'm
too old.
You know what? As a matter of fact, Eddie, go outside and break the switch right now. I'm on my way.
You can't, yo, you shouldn't be wearing, like you said, 35, older. You should not be wearing gray cornrows with the pink. My wife just yelled 30. With the pink, like your scalp is pink. What, how are y'all scalp pink with the gray cornrows? What are y'all doing?
They suppress your scalp.
Shut up. I guess you can't rock no great cornrows.
No, you cannot. No, you better not grow your hair out and put
matter of fact,
one
Eddie,
cornrow
Eddie, when we come to visit you, all of old folks are going to be dressed like young hip hoppers. See what you do with that.
Oh, you know I'll be creative and I'll figure out something. I'll say this is not even Halloween, y'all, and have y'all all on Instagram. It's not even Halloween. Look at these old Diddy
Bobbles. You can't wear my photos without my permission.
Please, you
look at
us like that. You look at us like, those are sexy motherfuckers.
Exactly.
Whatever,
man. They don't even look that age. Okay,
whatever.
No.
Please,
y'all
my
there.
Swag is good all day. My swag is sick.
Y'all come out there with some jerseys.
I'm about to go buy
some...
me a little waistband skirt, because that's what they look like.
Man, I can wear flip-flops and still look sexy. Don't play with me.
I can wear a potato sack and still look sexy. Eddie,
yeah,
little boy, don't play.
That's
y'all
what I'm
come out
about.
There with y'all with cornrows and some Jay-Z 8-tracks.
I'll come out looking like I'm going to get you sucked with Tip Daddy and still look sexy. What are you talking about? Put the fish in the shoes.
We got you, Eddie. Be careful.
Nah.
You call
down,
old.
Man. You let him get the 40s, man.
Hey, I'm just saying, if y'all have cornrows, y'all have no business. Y'all need to be putting the time out.
I've never had a cornrow in my
time
life.
Time out at home. Y'all need to be on... Put on time out at home.
You should put that on
home. Damn subject. You know what? Y'all gonna stop playing with me. But look at y'all. Facilitator, where you at?
Yes, brother. I'm here. It's utter amazement, but I'm here.
Like said,
I'm sorry. I apologize. It's raining. That's my only excuse.
Raining.
Yeah, I have a problem when it rains. I have issues with the rain.
Issues with the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of us do.
Not like this.
What the fuck again?
Eddie does. What'd you say there?
Don't do it.
Edward, what is the topic?
conformity.
Uniformity. Conformity or uniformity?
We went to Alabama, then took a ride to Georgia, and then now we're back on path. So we're trying to tell our young people that, you know, we want them to be able to do them, to be able to be who they are, but they have to understand who and what they represent in every situation.
That's correct.
Like, don't think that we also owe it to our children that, you know, forget where you're going and forget where you're trying to get to, but understand you also represent those in this house.
Mm-hmm.
You represent those mm-hmm. who came before. You have an obligation to us not to carry yourself any old kind of way.
That's right.
You know what? Trying to tell our young people they have an obligation to anybody but themselves at the jump, that's not going to work because they keeping it real.
Well, you know what? The best way to do it is like this, man. If you understand this, if we can get them to understand this and grasp this and adopt this, I think they'll be okay. Understand that there are consequences for your actions. Boom.
and not
the
necessarily the consequences you're going to want. And what they need to understand a lot because they have too much social media to combat with. Because like Eddie going to put somebody on Instagram. If I catch one more Instagram picture out there, I'm going to choke somebody. I don't like the fact that they just take all these pictures in their Instagram. They put their whole life on Facebook. As an employer, when you're looking for, and I tell young people this all the time, be careful what you put out there because once it's out there for the whole
mm-hmm.
world to see. A young lady lost a job because she was on vacation in Jamaica, and she was on vacation in Jamaica, laying on the beach, and she posted her picture of her laying on the beach, perfectly fine, she's on vacation. But her caption said, laying on the beach getting high in Jamaica, and she could not understand why she couldn't land a job. Things that you do at all seriousness, no jokes for real. Things that people do, and this is no matter what your age is, what you put out there on the World Wide Web can always come back to haunt you.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you mm-hmm. want to go from point A to point Z and not be stuck on welfare, you might want to do something a little different with the way you present yourself to the world in your everyday situations and as the case may be. And all these excuses about I'm keeping it real, I'm doing me. No, you're copying other people who are in a position to where they can do what the hell they want to do. You're not.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's
you
good.
Have
See,
not
God.
Paid your dues yet.
I didn't even consider that. That's definitely a part of uniformity. Your Facebook is a part of your uniform. Your Twitter is a part of your uniform. All that is
mm-hmm.
a part of your uniform. It all represents who you are and everything like that. And like she said, I mean, there are people that aren't getting jobs because people are going to their Facebook to see what they're doing. You're putting up cash signs and weed pits and all that stuff like that, and you're trying to get a job. And you wonder why won't they call me? It's just, I mean, again, it's a consequence for your actions. Everything that you do, you need to be cognizant of it and the consequences that potentially may come with it. And that's a great point that you brought up, Sig, and it definitely aligns with what we're talking about as far as uniformity versus conformity. Not to mention, hell, you might want to conform to just doing what the hell is right. we talk about keeping it real or whatever, and that's what blows my mind is those people that they're quote unquote keeping it real, like they don't even necessarily have what it is that they aspire to have. They just look a certain way, and they're just around their hood or what have you. But then again, like right back to what I was saying, the people that we're talking about, they work to get out of the hood. All y'all doing is trying to stay in the hood, realizing the different project that you are, wondering which one you're going to be living in, and that's a problem. If you can't think past where you live at, you need to work on your whole new game plan. If you walk around the houses and the projects and stuff trying to figure out which one is going to be yours, there is a problem.
If you don't
want to
see the time of the day where you can move your mom, your dad, your grandmother, your aunt, whoever's taking care of you out of the project, you've got a problem.
Hey, I'm going to take a step
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. If you can't see the day where you take them out of the project and get them a house, but they can't sleep at night, and you got to get a serious security system after you do it, there's a problem too. Because some people they'll make the money to make the move, but they can't sleep at night. They can't trust nobody. They got to look behind their back, and their mama got to look behind it, and they got to keep their mama in protective custody or whatever because they're trying to be cranky.
Yeah. They've got to see that. Okay, even with the rappers, and it was a long time because I am so not into anybody else's life, I can barely keep up with my own. But I finally looked at the documentary they did on Tupac, what Tupac did. And regardless of where he still was when he died or whatever, or if he's still living, however anybody thinks about that, in his documentary, he made some points about, if this would have happened differently in my life, I would be in a different place. If I would have had this, I would be a different person. So even if you're idolizing people that you say, well, they still banging or whatever, they also, if you take the time to learn their story, would have done some things differently. Every last one of them have admitted that. I would have done some things differently.
That's right.
I would have been a different person. I would have made some better choices. And
That's right.
So the only person I think anybody should look up to and care about look in the mirror. Be honest with yourself. Are you really comfortable walking with your legs gapped because the pants are sagging so far below your butt that it's ridiculous?
I'm just
are
trying
you
to
really
figure out why
you
got the skinny jeans on, Sig, with the sagging pants.
Stop it.
I'm just trying to figure out why they got the sagging pants and these skinny jeans. I'm like, yo, damn. The jeans are already tight as hell. And they say they're hanging off your ass.
We're not going to get them like that. If we joking what they're doing, we definitely not going to have an opportunity
okay.
to get into the head and make the switch.
Okay,
so
one thing,
the
skinny jean thing is a yeah, because I had to look up parallel for that. The skinny jean thing is a fad. And
yeah.
and so if we could, we need to, if we could get them to think further than, if we can look past their outfit and reach their
yeah.
minds. We
yeah,
can bring them
yeah.
out of the outfit without making fun of the outfit because what
yeah.
the younger generation is tired of hearing about is what are you wearing? What do you have
yeah,
on?
Yeah,
if
exactly.
you really mean to do that with your hair. So that's when I say open up a dialogue with them. Get past.
Yeah.
It's what made me stop pulling the sagging pants down. I had to get past that. I got past what they had on and decided to just have a conversation with them to see what their mind really was. And then you'll find out a lot of things about them. And you'll find that maybe they don't have anybody to talk to. And even this stranger... It's somebody they can look forward to talking to, and they can bounce ideas off, and they'll be propelled to do something better for themselves.
I've gone so far as to doing this, Nas. You know, I mentor young men 11 through 18. One day, I intentionally went into our session with my pants hanging behind off my behind, and my shirt and stuff in the manner that they could tell or whatever. And they all was like, "What are you doing?" They said it. What are you doing? And it sparked the dialogue. I let them, you know, I'm all in, you know, like I said, I'm strategic. I'm going to make sure you, whatever, if I'm going to try to do something, I'm going to. They asked me what I was doing. I asked them what was the problem. And they critiqued me. And all I did was what I normally do, put the mirror back up on them. So if you allow them to start looking at themselves through their own eyes, then you have an opportunity to make a change or at least get into their minds and make them consider things instead of just saying, what in the world? You got on that Spider-Man pants, and you're trying to tag them. You look like a fool. but we got to check our approaches because just like we said, just like we're preaching, it's a consequence for all of our actions. And the consequence could be that we caused them to shut down when we had an opportunity to get into their minds, help them build and become something better than what where they're headed and who they currently are.
That's what's up.
And when you talk to, once you start talking to them and then you get into their head and then you start
right.
All right, y'all.
Press that button one more time here. Press that button.
Sig, the next button you've got to hear is the click off button because we're both separate.
You would never want to hang up on me. I get very indignant about that. You better say bye first.
Oh, of course, we heard always with love.
It would be by love that I take that plane and make you pick me up at the airport. That would be by love.
It's not a dial tone, it's a love tone.
Exactly.
Love tone.
But
you try to
adjust
a black woman.
Okay, as we wrap up this show, we've come to the conclusion that, you know, we just have to be able to adjust our game to where we are. You just can't just go at anything any old kind of way. So
that's
we
good,
have to know
good.
How to evolve.
That's good,
talk
man.
About evolution. You got to grow into it. So, with the last couple of minutes, Nas, you got anything? You got anything to say? Or anything to add?
Nah, I mean it's just entertaining. I mean, first being able to talk about this topic. I like the fact that all three of us came with this topic, but of course with the support of. Sig in the background, she don't really realize it, but she kind of spearheaded the damn conversation too, the topic. But it all came together. I like how it came together, and I hope that a lot of our fellas
and, you know, can learn from this and ball the terms and sticks, learn how to put your dick wars to the side. Because it ain't about the crying game. Nah, for real. Real talk, all I'm saying is that, just put your testosterone to the side, put your things to the side, and understand it's a bigger pitch. I mean, you know, think before, think about the consequences. Think it through, talk it out, you'd be surprised. And if that cat want to respond different, then, that's on him. That's it. You got to come to the conclusion on how to put certain things to the side and stop, letting testosterone kick in. That's all I'm saying.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking
about. Wow. So, Eddie,
yo,
anything to add to this, to wrap this puppy up?
Man, in the end, man, like, starting with the beginning topic, man, we got to learn how to man up without putting the man down. Just coming together, man, for the better cause of whatever it is that you're trying to do. Be considerate of the way that other people do it. Know and understand that in order for you to have a successful team, no one or most of the people cannot be the same. Matter of fact, a shout out to whoever is our future man up host, because we are looking for another man up host who is not like us. Am I right now?
No, you're right.
We're looking to find somebody that's not like us that can stand their ground, of course, or else they will get done up on the show. But we're looking for people that are different from us to add another element to the show that also includes another perspective. And we, like I said, keep that in mind when we're talking about testosterone and being the man or whatever. Understand that we're all different. Not all of us have the same thing. As far as your grind and trying to make it to where you're trying to go, consider where you're trying to go, and also consider that you might have to change a few things up that you are really passionate about, just for a short period of time, not even forever, just for a short period of time, just to get into the doors that you want to get into, learn the game, understand the game so that you can make it your own. Then when you arrive, switch it up and show them that you don't have to live up to those type of rules, and then you start bringing in other people that you feel are like you, that aspire. But what you might find out is those that are dressed the way that you were are the ones that you don't want, and they weren't necessarily like you. So keep that in mind as well. But that's pretty much it, man, and I'm done.
All right, now.
Real quick,
Fact This Up, it's been a good show. The Man Up Show, we're done. It's a wrap. Big shout out to Hassan Black. We on our way. Until next week, God bless you all. Great week. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy the rest of this 4th of July weekend. We love you, and we're out of here.
Bye.
Deuces. All right. We're done. Thanks.